September 31st, 1963, the meeting of the Town Hall Yukon Historical Society, resuming after a summer of recess in the Chamber of Commerce log cabin located on First Avenue here in Fairbanks, Alaska.
Well,
the city of Sitka wanted to get a big chunk of the ground.
It's 8:15, folks. Supposing we get started with the business meeting.
No, it's
7:45. 7:45. 15 minutes late is what I meant to say. George, how about sitting over here at the table?
I will.
You don't want to take a roll call, the officers here?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Not here.
Oh, Kerry. Fabian Kerry is not here.
No, he's working 3 to midnight bar house.
I wonder if we can contact him and get things straightened out. Jim Cassidy will do that. No. First order.
You want the minutes from the main meeting?
Yeah, I think we'll read the minutes of the previous special meeting we had.
Should I read the main meeting first and then the special?
Yeah, the main meeting first we should, and then the executive meeting, yeah.
A special meeting of the Town Hall Yukon Historical Society was held at 8 p.m. May 24, 1963 at Birch Park Recreation Hall. There were not enough members present to hold a regular meeting. The meeting was called to order by President Robert Sheldon. Present were Irving and Eleanor Reed, Frank Young, Harry Hughes, James Cassidy, and Florence Manville. Dues were received from Harry Hughes and new member Ursula Wagner. Nominations of directors. James Cassidy was nominated for a 2-year term to fill the vacancy of Audrey Loftus. Irving Reed and Forbes Baker were nominated for a 3-year term. Both are delinquent in their dues. A letter should be sent to each to call their attention to this oversight. Committee appointments. Corresponding Secretary, Magdalene Cassidy. Membership, no one appointed. Program, Irving Reed, Chairman, Florence Manville, Epp Lean. Tape recording, William Cashin, Chairman, Harry Hughes, Frank Young. Interrogation Committee, Irving Reed, Chairman, Harry Hughes, Frank Young, Epp Lean, and James Cassidy. Publicity, Eleanor Reed, Chairman, Anella Davies, and Frank Young. Membership, Ursula Wagner, Chairman, Epp Lean, Lou Rowinsky, and Robert Sheldon. Refreshment Committee, Alma Matlock, Chairman, Dolly Young, Anella Davis, Magdalene Cassidy, and Florence Manville. Historical names, Frank Young, Chairman, James Cassidy, Earl Pilgrim, Irving Reed, and Lou Rowinsky. Picture identification, Frank Young, Chairman, Lou Rowinsky, William Cashin, Edby Davis, and Harry Hughes. Respectfully submitted, Florence Manville, Acting Secretary.
If there's no objection, we'll accept the minutes as read.
What was that about to do with the
dues? You were delinquent.
Who?
Irving Reed and Forbes Baker were nominated for a 3-year term. Both are delinquent in their dues.
This was in May.
Huh? This was in May. You may have paid since then.
Are they the only ones who are delinquent?
No.
No. Have you got a list of? Let's all get out of dues and pay them. Have you got a list of what's delinquent?
No, but I do have Fabian Carey's book, and we can check and see who has paid and who hasn't paid.
Mm-hmm. I think
when you look box, if you see if we are delinquent, mm-hmm. and give me a ring.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm delinquent too. Maybe after the meeting, if we have time, if you want to check and see if you are. If you do,
Now the next thing is the reading of the special meeting that we had to get started after an all-summer recess.
A special meeting of the officers and members of the Board of Directors of the Town Hall Yukon Historical Society was held October 22, 1963 at Torgerson's office building. Present were Harry Hughes, Magdalene Cassidy, Lou Rowinsky, Charles Kahn, Frank Young, James Cassidy, Irving Reed, Forbes Baker, Florence Manville, and Sally McDuffie. The meeting was called to order at 8 p.m. by Vice President Harry Hughes. Mr. Hughes said that the purpose of the meeting was to organize and reactivate the Society's meetings. Mr. Hughes submitted his resignation and nominated Florence Manville to fill the vacancy. Election will be held at the next meeting, and at that time further nominations can be made. The Secretary read over the committee appointments. Mr. Reed stated that he would like to record the history of buffalo and musk oxen in Alaska at the next meeting following the business meeting. It was decided to have the next meeting on October 31st. The Vice President instructed the Secretary to send notices of the next meeting to the members. The Secretary read part of a letter asking for information about religious shrines and monuments in Alaska. Frank Young will find out the name of an individual to whom the letter can be referred. Business to be conducted at the next meeting includes election of a Vice President to fill Harry Hughes' vacancy and election of one member to the Board of Directors to fill Andy Wickens' place. The Vice President instructed James Cassidy to contact the Treasurer, Fabian Carey, to clarify the state of the Treasury. It was suggested that we find a more convenient place to hold our meetings. A number of suggestions were made. Members were asked to look into the various possibilities and to report at the next regular meeting. Frank Young reported that the Centennial Committee is working on developing interest in the community for ideas for the Centennial celebration. Harry Hughes asked for workers to sell books of certificates for the Pioneers Park. Following further discussion on where to hold our meetings, Frank Young moved that we have the next meeting at the Chamber of Commerce. Irving Reed seconded and amended the motion that we hold the next meeting at Birch Park, October 31st, and vote at that time on whether to hold future meetings at the Chamber of Commerce. The motion was seconded and carried. It was recommended that the Society hold its meetings throughout the year in order to maintain interest and to give us more opportunity to gather tapes from the old-timers. Chamber of Commerce and the university were suggested as meeting places during the summer. Mrs. Cassidy suggested that members speak to other groups and invite them to our meetings, such as the Pioneers and the Pioneers Auxiliary. The meeting adjourned to Mrs. Wagner's home for coffee. Respectfully submitted, Sally McDuffie, Recording Secretary.
What is your disposal of this? Any corrections or errors? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Yes. Unanimous. Of course, you all know how we come to have the meeting here instead of Birch Park. It wasn't available. And,
Birch Park wasn't available?
Not that night. Not tonight.
That's the reason we had.
Right, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's the reason the error. So in tonight's minutes, it'll show the reason we held the meeting here instead of there.
Well, Mr. Hughes, is there any charge for having it here?
I talked to Janet Baird, and Paul Grimen is on the Chamber of Commerce Committee to support us in our park project and all this other that you see around the walls here, including the Centennial. And I asked what the charge would be, and she said she didn't think there'd be any. And Paul said, well, if they told you that over there, it's okay with him. And Janet Baird gave me the key to the place tonight, so we've held our meeting here.
Well, I would think this would be a better place the year round. It's more centrally located.
Yeah.
Mr. Paul Grimen's present. Maybe he'd like to make a report on that subject.
Down there, we come here for this meeting. I didn't know we could get this.
Will you come on over here, Paul, and explain to us about this Chamber of Commerce Committee that's being set up to cooperate with us in regard to the park and these other items right now, since they're on that subject?
Yeah, exactly. President, members, yes. Without even asking the Chamber of Commerce to take an active part in this Pioneer Memorial Park and development that we have been working on for so long, the result of the Centennial, they figured it'd be a grand opportunity to side in and help the Pioneer Memorial Park to sponsor the and get actively behind it to encourage and develop and have this the central park for the centennial, or the central area for the centennial. And Kurt Boone appointed me as the representative for the chamber to look after the activities and work in liaison with the Pioneer Memorial Park. And this would also fit in very well with the Historical Society, because actually the Pioneer Memorial Park and the Historical Society are an integral part of the development of our historical monument and park, as we call it. So, I see it's a step in the right direction, and at least it looks like now that we do have the community behind us on the Memorial Park. I think probably on this work session that we had, Irving Reed, put in a plug for the Memorial Park, and his was the only one that came into the chamber for the work session, and other things to be added to the Chamber of Commerce activities. And it's amazing what one person can do and one thought can do to stimulate the idea. And from there on, the chamber picked it up, and they're really active on it. If there's any other questions you'd like to ask, I'd try and answer them.
Does that mean we will be able to meet here without the usual charge being made, or do you know?
Well, I kind of pulled the strings there this evening and told them that we were going to have a joint meeting of the Historical Pioneer Memorial Park and the Historical Society, and therefore they granted concession
for
have the meeting here. Whether this can be a regular affair, I don't know, but as long as I think we sponsor them, I'm a member of both the Memorial Park and president, I think that we can avail ourselves of the use of this place. You just let me know in time when you want to have it, and I think I can arrange it. I'd be glad to.
The members of the Historical Society are also members of the Memorial Park Corporation.
That's right.
So that's the way the public can get in on the Memorial Park Corporation, because they be a pioneer to get in. On the other side, you have to be here 30 years, but anybody can join this.
Yeah, I explained that at the chamber the other day, that we were having a meeting down here, and that those people that were interested in seeing the development of the Pioneer Memorial Park, that were not eligible to be members of the Pioneers, should join the Historical Society. And I said they were World War I and inseparable, and it's the way the thing is set up, so that we invite everybody to join, either those that are eligible for the Pioneers and become an active part in a Pioneer Memorial Park, or the Historical Society, because I happen to be a member of both of them.
The normal charge is $10 to meet down here, and it would only be once a month. And Janet Baird, the secretary, went over the calendar with me, and she couldn't find the third Monday of each month occupied, so I will inform you what I found out.
Fourth Thursday,
is it? Well, there wasn't either one occupied.
Fourth Thursday.
Unless something comes up we don't know about, but the calendar doesn't have anything on it.
Well, Mr. President, I think the $10 charge would certainly be reasonable, because they do have janitorial services. To
well, I would like an expression from the
that
group.
That would be the only, certainly be a fine gesture if you did.
It would be a fine thing for the Historical Society if we did. We're simply located here, and people know where it is all over town, and we'll get a better audience, I think, here.
A motion would be in order to that effect, I believe.
Well, I'll make a motion to that effect.
I'd like to second that motion.
The motion's made and seconded that we rent the log cabin here at each regular historical meeting at the $10 charge.
On the
fourth Thursday of each month, providing it's satisfactory with the chamber. Mm-hmm. And the secretary could write a letter to that effect so that we'll have something of record for the chamber too. If that's
yeah,
all.
Yeah. Say something here. It might be that we could pass a coffee plate each night of the meeting. Florence has been furnishing the coffee.
Well, that's all right.
For the meeting every night, and brings the coffee pot and the in her coffee, and we could pass a coffee plate each meeting, and maybe pay for the coffee and the rental of the room too.
That subject was brought up, and we tried to avoid that idea of charging admission to come to the meeting. A donation can be done on the side, just like we do at our church, if
well,
we want to, without taking up collection.
On the table, everybody knows it's there. If they want to pay for their coffee and their entertainment,
we have a motion before the House. What is your pleasure? Those for?
Aye.
Against?
No.
What was this, for coffee? Or
no, the rent of the hall.
The rent of the hall. Oh.
Mm-hmm. Did you get it all? No? All right.
Well, let's put it this way. It seems to me as long as we can get it
well,
free.
Well, that's all right too, but we're authorized now by the minute
yeah,
to go
okay.
ahead and pay for it. And
fine.
If they want to donate it back to the organization, I think that would be all right, would it, Irving? What do you think? Let it be their gift if they want to give it back to us.
I believe Mr. Hughes' facility is here for making copies.
Yes.
We have
oh, yes.
Facility is for making, so you want to bring copies.
Florence
oh,
is fixing it up.
Okay.
You folks that haven't met each other, I think we missed the bet here. I think everybody should introduce themselves, starting on this side and right around.
I am George Huber.
And I'm Clark Manville.
From the FBJ, the Bill Capers, Irvis Carter, Ed Ashby.
Mr. Kine?
Ralph
Skye. Irving Reed.
Jim Cassidy.
Magdalene Cassidy.
I'm Bill Cashin. College.
Helen Reed.
Jerry Boyle.
Mike Kolak from Meta.
Oliver Backlund.
Oliver Backlund. We've got a couple hiding down there. I'd like to have their names.
Move them up.
Yeah, whatever we get them.
This next affair that's coming up.
Oh. Now, what's the next subject on this now?
This is a surprise party.
Yes, the next thing would be
trick or treat.
Are you going to resign the Harry? Or
we have to elect these officers first.
Hmm?
We have to elect the officers next first before I resign.
Yeah. Well,
I can't resign
first, and then we elect your officers.
Well, we'll start with the office of Vice President. And
I'll nominate Florence Manville.
Any second to that?
Second
to
motion.
You don't need a second.
What is your pleasure? Those four?
Wait a minute, if the nominations are closed, there anybody else want to nominate? Maybe somebody else will be nominated.
I'll make a motion nomination cease.
Any second?
I'll second the motion the nomination be closed.
It's been moved and
unanimous vote be cast for Florence Mansfield.
The motion is made and seconded that a unanimous ballot be cast for Florence Mansfield. Those for?
Aye.
Those against? And unanimous.
Oh, no.
Now, the next officer is
somebody to replace Andy Wicken.
Andy Wicken has passed on and left us, and who was nominated for his position?
Bill Cashin.
Bill Cashin?
Which position?
Andy Wicken was has passed on, and his office became vacant as a trustee.
Trustee.
And your name has been submitted?
I'll make a motion that Bill Cashin be nominated for trustee of Andy Wicken.
Do I hear a second?
I move the nomination to be closed.
Second the motion.
It has been moved and seconded. The nomination be closed. Those for?
Aye.
Those against? Unanimous. The next one?
That's all.
That's all the offices that are vacant right now. Now, is there any other subject you'd like to bring up before you initiate Florence into her new job?
You want to see, ask Mrs. Cassidy if we have any correspondence?
Any correspondence from Mrs. Cassidy first, I believe. I was trying to get out of here.
We have a letter from the Vicar Book Service in Stoughton, Stoughton, Massachusetts, dated October 7th, written to the Tananaw Yukon Historical Society. Would the following be of interest to your organization? Original photograph, 9.5 by 7.5 inches, mounted on board, overall dimensions 12.5 by 10.5 inches. Photographed by H.C. Barley, Skagway, Alaska, dated possibly 1890s or 1880s, entitled Early Morning at the Landing, Scenery on the White Pass and Yukon Route. The picture portrays a large group of men in front of the Canyon, quote, Canyon and White Horse Rapids Tramway Company, quote. The picture is slightly faded. One corner of the board is chipped, else in good condition. $17.50 postpaid, sent on approval.
What is your disposal of this letter, you folks?
I don't think we need it. That ought to be sent to the Skagway.
Skagway or White Horse?
No, White Horse, yeah.
Would you suggest that this letter be forwarded to
Museum at Skagway?
Museum at Skagway?
Yeah,
it says Hillary.
Frank, did you locate or find out what the name of this religious organization we want to refer this previous letter mentioned in the minutes to?
No, I haven't been able to get that information yet, but I'm working on it.
There might be, somebody might know the answer to this one.
Okay, will you please read it?
This is from the University of Redland. I am engaged in a study of the role of religion in the development of this nation. Of particular interest to me are the historic sites, shrines, or memorials that have religious significance. It is possible that some of these come within your purview or area of interest. If this is the case, I shall be profoundly grateful for any assistance you may have time to render. Would it be possible to obtain from you three kinds of information? One, a list of items of your locale which, in your judgment, are of major significance to the religious history. Two, a printed or mimeographed description of the monument. And three, any photograph or artistic presentation. I recognize the demand which this request makes upon your time, and I have no defense except to plead the critical assistance which can render and which you can render and deep gratitude which I shall feel. Sincerely, Edwin S. Gustad. We just thought if anybody had any of
them. Would someone from the university be able to answer that out there in regard to religious research and recording? Would they have any information on that?
Look at the religion department.
There are three churches in Fairbanks yet to appear in the early days, the Catholic, the Presbyterian, the Episcopal,
and
all that, keeping good records.
I would refer to them. Thanks, Ivor.
That's all I have.
Is there any other business before the meeting tonight before we proceed to install our new president?
What the committee reports, Harry?
You trying to work me overtime. I want to get you in here to start working. Well, is there any committee reports? You have one?
Here's your committees.
Thank you.
You can read us.
Program, Irving Reed. Florence Manville, and Ep Lean. Mr. Lean isn't here. And what is on the program? Do you have anything to report?
Yes, I'd like to make a suggestion that in the future we have a speaker and then also a recording for the. I want to have the members of that kind of set up by just having the speaker only. We've had some very good recordings here from time to time. I think Harry's has quite a number from Nome and all and from all along the Yukon River. I think that would be wonderful. We could just have a few of the recordings too, and then probably get more interest in the meetings.
Well, that's a good suggestion. Mr. Reed and Florence and Ep Lean should come up with a program, and we'd consider it here. I believe that would be proper, wouldn't it?
I think that could come right on the committee's program.
Yeah. So I think that was a good suggestion. Mr. William Cashin and Frank Young and myself on the tape recorder. Mr. Cashin.
All right, then.
Yeah, you didn't bring yours with you, so you're excused. Frank Young has one too, so after this we'll bring them both. How's that?
I don't know where the Historical Society's recorder is. I turned it over to Carrie last meeting. Last
it could spring. Be at his house then.
And I handled it for 2 years, and I figured I'd get rid of it.
Jim, would you care to check up on that to locate it and get it back in our service again?
Fabian Carey? Yeah.
Yeah. Interrogation. That means a detective. Irving Reed, Frank Young, and Ep Lean, and Jim Cassidy, and myself. That means to prepare that with the interrogation of the speakers. Does anybody have any comments on that?
No, only as it was my suggestion at the last meeting last fall, I think we should work over to make up a form and make it uniform for all of them. I notice when we do interrogate a speaker, sometimes we get a nice complete history, and the next time, due to little interferences and other thoughts coming up, he hardly tells his name and he's off on his story. And we figured, don't we, that it's very valuable to us to get more of his personal details, his father and mother's name, where he was born, when he came to Alaska.
May I suggest that Jim Cassidy, Frank Young, and Mr. Reed and Ep Lean come up with a little program of that to follow in recording these old timers from now on?
Okay.
The next is publicity. Eleanor Reed, Anella Davis, and Frank Young. Does Mrs. Reed have anything to report?
We took around all the radio stations and the paper. We haven't heard it on KFRB, but I don't think they have time to have the KFRB on. They work for us,
Frank? Memberships. Mrs. Ursula Wagner, is it? Robert Sheldon, Ep Lean, and Lou Lewinsky. New members. Historical names. Frank Young, Jim Cassidy, Earl Pilgrim, Irving Reed, and Lou Lewinsky.
No one's asked me about a historical name yet.
May I suggest on that historical names that since Frank Young is a member of the State Geographic Board of Names that he give us a little background information and the procedure for getting these places named, correctly named, or established. If he has some information on that, I think it'd be a good time to give it to us.
Well, in the past, seems that there's been a lot of these places and names here in the years that kind of named after people and taken come in the country, and also the military, with due respect to them, that they didn't go through the proper channels to get these historical names that they want on lakes and mountains and rivers and what have you in proper form. Now, the procedure is to write to the Board of Geographical Names, and your letter stating just what your requests are and why certain mountains or rivers should be named for a certain person, if so, or whatever name the person might suggest to have the river or mountain named. And the State Geographic Board, of which I am a member, will take action on it, and they figure it's the appropriate name by the Board of Pathfinders.
Well, as I understand it, the proper thing is for anyone that wants to get a name established on something of historical significance would be to write a letter with a proposal to the Board of Geographic Names, address it to Frank Young or to Juno. Either one.
You can address it to Juno, care of, I just don't recall the box number down there, but it's just a state geographic name, Juno, Alaska. There's a post office box, but I can't recall the number now.
Does anyone else have any comment on that?
My husband and I wish they'd keep some of the wonderful old Indian names. They're so musical, like South Jacket Lake instead of Harding, and Denali, from Mount McKinley. Those names were beautiful.
Many old time prospectors and pioneers here in the early days, for instance, Beale Lake out here, the military renamed it Lake Bolo.
It's a Bolu Lake.
Bolu Lake, yeah.
Yeah, I've been fishing.
Anyway, things like that. It'd be nice, I think, as Mrs. Green said, if they keep the old pioneer names.
The Indian names.
I have a very interesting book. There's a book of names got out by the Geological Survey back in 1906.
That would be something to research, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Thank you, Irving.
Was it Liliana Torcello at one time?
Yep.
It was a native village right on the point of that bar, wasn't it?
It's called Mayo.
The next is
Picture identification.
Frank Young, Lou Rowinski, William Cashin, Ed B. Davis, and myself. Do we have anything to report on the picture identification? The other day, I asked Mr. Lou Rowinski if he would help me resurrect some real old important pictures to prepare for enlargement to put on display during the Grand Igloo Convention at Fairbanks, and in so doing, we could encourage other people to do the same. By the time the centennial comes up, we could have something all over town for people to see, in fact, all over the area. And I don't know if Lou is able to spend any time moving his museum. He's probably a pretty busy boy.
Well, we haven't gotten photographic collections arranged, but there's going to be plenty of time to do this, I'm sure. We'll be able to pull out a number of good photographs.
I have taken an old negative from July 4th, 1910 at Chattanooga with a group of about 100 people in it. I've sent it out to be restored and enlarged. Now, Alfred Gazzi produced that negative for me, and the people in the picture are some of the people that purchased that piano that Leo Sofeld moved into the sourdough office this week from Chattanooga. And that enlarged picture, I intend to put it over there with the piano, and we'd like to have a copy of the letter from the folks that signed to give that piano to the Pioneer Park and Historical Society.
Well,
Now, somebody has that in their files. Do you know anything about it, Frank?
Yes, I do.
Well, we'd like to have a photostat copy of that letter to go with that picture when it gets back.
You were the gentleman that gave it to me one time to go out and get the piano. Do you recall
it? I probably did, but I didn't know where the letter went. And anyone else that has any old, important, historical pictures that would be of interest to these people from all over Alaska, starting early in the summer, before the Pioneer Convention, the tourists. If we can create something to even fill up this Chamber of Commerce with tourists, it would help. So any suggestions like that, if they'll contact one of us on that committee, I'd be glad to help them prepare and advise them, or any way we can to get something started. Is there anyone else who would like to say anything on that subject?
Well, I'd like to say whenever the university or any others that are interested in old pictures that want identification that I might be able to help with, I'm available most all the time. If you'd like to do it.
Well, that's fine, Frank. Thanks. Bob Bloom and Alfred Gazzi sit over in the house with the magnifying glass, and I think they identified about half of the people on that picture I'm having restored. So I hope I get it back before, so we can get the picture fully identified. Get it blown up so that both Alfred and Bob Bloom will be able to identify everybody in it. That's quite a job, too. The next thing is place of meetings. And that was decided that if it's in keeping with the Chamber of Commerce, we'd go ahead and write this letter to the Chamber.
It's already been passed.
And, yeah, that's already been passed.
Yes, so they know to keep the Thursday open.
The fourth.
Now, does anyone else have anything before we call our speaker?
Is this the permanent place of meeting now?
It is. If the Chamber accepts it, yes. Oh, well, it charges $10.
I have a little announcement.
Oh, Chuck's here? Yeah. Is that correct, Chuck?
Well, maybe he wants to make a comment.
Would you like to come in and say a word on the Chamber, use of the Chamber here for the Historical Society once a month?
We're glad to have you use it.
Thanks, Chuck.
That if the group chooses so, written in such a way that an organization as this may join the Chamber for an associate membership at $25 a year, and they can use the basement free.
Well, let's consider that. Anybody got any ideas? We'll start that right now.
That would be only this, that we ask that you restore the room to the way that you found it, so we don't have to put a bill to our janitor, an additional bill to him.
Well, two of the ladies went in and washed the dishes tonight, and I'll put every chair back like I found it.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we affiliate.
It's moved and seconded that the Historical Society, this is the Historical Society meeting here, arranged to take a membership in the Chamber of Commerce here, associate membership, and thank the Chamber for the opportunity.
At $25 a year.
Well, that would have to go with it. Any other comment on that subject?
I'd like to make a mention that if you pay $50, well, you have a voice in the Chamber.
Chuck, here's the salesman over here.
Question?
Yes, Professor Kahn.
Question?
And all those for?
Aye.
All those against? Unanimous.
I didn't say nothing this time.
Just one more point, Mr. Chairman, before we listen to our speaker. We've been looking around for ways of interesting the local populace in joining and participating in our group. It seems to me that this historical names idea would be a good means of doing this. I think if we could maybe come up with a proposal as a group to name some important peak, river, lake, stream, or trail, or whatever it might be, perhaps each meeting, and work out a form that we could send to the state, that the word would soon get around, and we'd come up with quite a bit of interest and support. And just to have you think this over between
between now and say maybe next meeting. We lost Andy Wicken not long ago. We lost Dr. Geist not long ago. I just wonder if between now and the next meeting, a few of us could think about this and see if we could find an appropriate place or peak or whatever it might be in Alaska and recommend that their names be
to memorialize the passing pioneers is the intent, I believe.
I think this way we get away from some of the other cuckoo names that have no place in Alaska. Probably just brought up some guy's favorite thing in town.
Yeah.
It would be hard to do. I've already got an idea.
That's a good idea.
Well,
I'd
be glad to have somebody take a part in that myself.
Well, in the naming of something for Dr. Geist, it's got to be big and beautiful.
It will be.
Has any other comment on that now? Anyone else have any say on that subject?
I think it's a wonderful idea.
Then I will appoint Professor Keim to come in with his proposal. We'll appoint a committee, probably a new president will, to cooperate with you on that.
Sure.
Yes, Chuck?
I'm sorry I was late. Was there any discussion regarding the centennial?
Yes.
There's been some recent developments in the last...
Would you care to come up here and tell us about it? I'd be glad to have you over here.
No, sir. I'll come on up here. It's all with everyone else. But I'd just like to ask, in your discussion, was it mentioned what plans are being made to prepare for the bid for the center of the centennial activities, named Fairbanks, the Centennial Center, which I understand the committee plans to do now, to select one city that will be designated as the place, more or less as the headquarters for this centennial.
Chuck, you have two members of your centennial committee, Frank Young and Mr. Cashin here.
Statewide or citywide?
What is that?
Statewide. Right. Well, this is what I've understood in phone call and some other things in the last day or so. Maybe they can help me in understanding if this is correct, if there is going to be a designated city.
I didn't make a statement to that effect that we are trying to get Fairbanks designated as the centennial city, the headquarters for something.
Well, I'm sure talking it up myself everywhere I go. I kind of bother people on that subject.
From what I understand, Mr. President, and I know Mr. Graham and I will be getting together as he's chairman of the Chamber's Pioneer Memorial Park Committee. If we're going to almost have to make a strong presentation at the next meeting of the state committee, and a very strong one to show why Fairbanks should be the center, or another city has already made it fairly clear that they've got the necessary presentation to get the designation.
We can hold a meeting of the Pioneer Memorial Park Board and offer the park area for that development, if that would go in along in that line. What do you think, Paul?
Yes.
We can bring that up at our meeting and vote on it and present it in proper manner.
Well, the reason I brought it up is that I was wondering if there would be any people here. I know we have a lot of distinguished folks here from the university and otherwise that would like to meet with Mr. Grimman and would give his name to Mr. Grimman or her name to Mr. Grimman, so that when we call a meeting here the first part of next week, they could be called upon. To get together and discuss and bring all the information that we have right now regarding this for presentation. And for us to get on the stick, we might say, and on the ball.
You're very right.
Before we get knocked off the tee to make the proper presentation. We have some commitments from folks in Seattle who will agree to come up here and help us, people that put this 21 together down there, on what we need to do on a Fairbanks scale to get the bid in for Fairbanks as the Centennial Center.
I'm open for a motion to support Chuck Wenger's idea on the centennial here, if we can get an expression from the organization.
Well, I think that, I don't think I should come from this organization.
We should agree to support that project as a member of the Pioneer Memorial Park Board.
That's
do you want to direct the communication from the Historical Society to the Park Board to support that move?
I think, sir, that if any communication should be directed to Mr. Grimman right now to be used by the Chamber in this effort as well as the pioneers themselves in their efforts, so So, I mean, we hope to get the whole thing pulled together.
Chuck, I better clear a point. The Pioneers of Alaska are a corporation.
Yes,
the Historical Society is a corporation. The Pioneer Memorial Park Board is another corporation, has three entities. The Historical Society, the Pioneers, and the State of Alaska.
Well, the more the merrier.
From a representative from any one of the entities should direct it to the proper channel so that it don't bypass somebody and hurt their feelings. That's one thing. And another thing, sometimes it ain't good procedure to try to override some organization or some individual. So I'm trying to keep the continuity of things.
Mr. President, may I interject a word? Frank Young and I are both members of the State Centennial Commission. We had the meeting in Anchorage the 4th, 5th, and 6th of October. Now, I'm just sorry myself that this has taken the turn that it has of some kind of a rivalry between the different cities. Because our main theme, in which was reiterated at our meeting, was that this is an all-Alaska affair, that every town is urged and asked to put on as good a centennial program as they can, and within the limits of the facilities that they have to offer. It's ridiculous to think that any one town is going to take care of 10,000 people coming in all at once to witness some pageants and things of that kind. So our hope is that every town will build around its own history and reasonably around the facilities that they have to take care of visitors, and that everyone is going to have a nice program. Now, this idea of entering into a cut-rate and cutthroat competition for a central theme right at this 3 years before the event arrives is something that I abhor. We have to be reasonable that in this respect, and this is the way the commission talked, that certainly if we're going to ask maybe big industrial concerns, such as Standard Oil Company or Pan American Airlines and that sort of thing, to give us some kind of support and exhibit, industrial displays we're thinking of primarily, why they can't fragment it into five or six or seven different towns. So they may well want to designate that they want to put up their exhibit at a certain place. Well, I suppose then in a sense there would be a central exposition of some kind. But I assure you at this stage of the game, we don't know which town it's going to be. If there's going to be a central industrial exposition, it may well be that another town will have the central historical exhibition, and another one central some other kind of exhibition. The only motion that was passed, and Frank, do you bear me out on this memory, that we reiterated the stand taken previously, that it is an all-Alaska affair, and that there would be, as far as we could see, if necessary, a central exposition with one or more satellites, which meant that there was no town going to take the whole show. There might necessarily, because of accommodations, or because of these industrial exhibits, some kind of a central thing. But that's not to be taken that once one place has been designated, all the other towns collapse by any means. And while I'm on my feet, I have here now a number of copies of the Centennial Press that arrived too late for distribution to the Pioneers meeting in Cordova, but I would urge each of you to take a copy of this Centennial Press. This is Volume 1, Number 1, and it might be a historical...
would you care to pass them right out if you want?
I would
take time to do that. That's important.
That everyone would... have a copy of this, take one and just pass them around. And now maybe I've answered some of your questions, I don't know, but both Frank Young here and I are a member of the Central Committee. I don't know when our next meeting is, but I want here to state that the Fairbanks has a lot to offer. We have the grounds out here.
We've got an active, we hope, historical society and pioneers group. And we've got the university right here. And we've got a lot of history right at our doorstep. And I would think that the Fairbanks would be one of the major, if not the central point of interest for the exposition. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill. Mm-hmm.
Sir, I certainly thank you very much. Your comments were so correct, and after a number of pieces of correspondence and some phone calls, and talking with some other folks that were at this meeting, they reassured this same point.
Yeah.
And I didn't become the least bit curious about it until I contacted the president of a large corporation which is based in Seattle to ask for their help in doing some things for the centennial. He said, well, you're the second call. I had someone who's called me from another city, and we committed ourselves to go into there and put a display in. And I said, well, he made me promise I wouldn't tell what company it was because they saw sort of a controversy looming up, and also they would withdraw their other offer because they didn't know what was really what was taking place. And this became, I became a little bit concerned. The sleeping dog somewhere else seems to be out working at it pretty carefully. And I hope we're prepared to present the best picture we can, whether it be historically or whatever presentation we want to make.
The best advice from our public relation experts that have been asked opinions so far, they seem to think that there should be one central place for your big thing to focus attention. If you're going to go into a statewide celebration, there still has to be a focal point. And as I say, at the present stage of the game, the commission is battling that thing right now. We're trying to keep it spread out, but it's entirely possible that there will have to be a central exposition. And by the way, there are 3 members from Fairbanks and 6 from Anchorage.
Yes.
Among the membership. So.
19 to 21, like it's always been.
I think this gentleman said, we don't keep buying the boy, we're around seeing her. And I think I just along with her. But I see and heard, and I don't like to get into details, but I think we just keep a putter and we'll get somewhere.
Thank you both, Chuck and Bill.
Mr. President, I'd like to suggest that probably a week from tonight that we could have a meeting down here and go over some of the facets of this.
Yeah.
If this place is available at that time, and we'd certainly like you to check on that, and if it is available, why, we'll have a meeting down here a week from tonight at 8 o'clock.
What group, Mr. President, what group is this name, Paul?
This is the Historical Society tonight.
Well, it would be the...
Pioneer Park Board or General Meeting?
Pioneer Park, in order to coordinate this thing with the
Chamber.
Centennial.
It'll take the Park
Pioneer
Board
Park
to do it.
That's right. The Pioneer Memorial Park will spark by it along with any Chamber members, and we'll announce an Executive Board meeting Monday and get the ball rolling.
I'm available right now.
Okay.
Chuck, that was my reason to get it clear about the different organizations, so we wouldn't get crossed up and say, well, you were supposed to do this, and I'm supposed to do this. Thank you. Thank you both. Now, while he's checking on that, would anyone else care to say anything or have anything to talk about? Well, the motion has been made that we adjourn this meeting and call our speaker
forward. We install our new vice president.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That notion's out of order.
You are.
Well, I think we ought to escort her over here and Florence over here and set her right down here to start in.
Okay, it'll be installed nicely.
Mm-hmm.
Bring your purse with you, Florence.
Get a gavel for you.
Yeah, that's easy. I have one.
Oh, my goodness.
You just turned your head the other way. We have some visitors there, Harry.
One the ones in the back didn't want to be identified.
No.
They told me no when I called them.
Did the ones tell me to say? Or they want to
no, well, they want to listen.
Hear the speaker.
Oh,
we want to wait till
Meeting going on. Yeah, I think I would rather interrupt. Maybe I'll sit through it because I'm going to put Ernie in here in the middle where you can talk to him.
Yeah, okay, fine. Our speaker, Mr. Reed, is going to talk on the musk ox and the buffalo and when they were brought into Alaska. Mr. Reed, will you come up?
Do you want somebody with you, Jerry?
Well, it shouldn't be an interrogator.
Yeah, sit right here.
I'm with Frank Young.
Frank, will you come up here, please?
Give your name and address. No, don't forget that.
I was trying to.
A little moral support, please. I think there's a lot